TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here.
When I was a new believer, and if I would have had, you know, all of you guys talking and hearing what we're talking about on BFN Radio, I would have been so encouraged. You know, I was like, oh, somebody loves him too. You know, because it's amazing when you get born again in a religious environment. Today, this is because America's so religious. Mm-hmm. You have this person who's like, I'm so in love with God. I'm so in love with God. And then they hang around people who said they're in love with God, but they're actually fell in love with the world and left the love of God. Mm-hmm. There's a dangerous moment where that person begins to say, well, I guess maybe I'm just too excited. Maybe, you know, somebody goes, he'll calm down. You know, he'll get lukewarm like us. Like, well, thank you, mentor. I appreciate that. Or you can listen to VFN.
Zealous there.
Yeah, you can listen to VFN Radio and say, listen, there are many people in love with God, and that the book of Acts is not a myth or a history book. It's actually what we're supposed to be seeing and doing in the church. The Bible is our pattern. It's our plumb line. And it's exciting. It's exciting. Jesus is alive. He is Lord of the harvest. And he said to pray to him, to ask him to send out workers. And we're talking to you. Maybe you are... God has called you to be a part, and if you are a believer, you're called to go into the harvest field. Timing is important. Being discipled is important. Being rightly related is important, so you survive and end up in the kingdom that you preach. And maybe VFN, Vine Fellowship Network's for you, you know, or Vine Fellowship Network University, where you can get all connected, get discipled, and get launched into your destiny so that the day that you do stand before the throne of God, no witnesses, no suspects, that the same expectations God has for an Oral Roberts, that he has for a Billy Graham, that he has for a Steve Hill, he has for you. Mm-hmm. He has for you. But whatever talents, whatever measure of what he's given you, he's gonna say, what did you do with it? And maybe God's given you a talent that you can do, if you're going to measure it by numbers, that you could do 10, you know, but you're only doing 5. Mm-hmm. Well, what did you do with the other 5? But maybe you're somebody that's been given talents, and there's plenty of these folks that you've been given 1,000. You can do 1,000. But, you know, you're doing 10 or doing 100, but you're doing 900 on yourself. You know, mm-hmm. you're taking all that talent and everything. You're just building up wealth for yourself and hoarding things and buying bigger things. And listen, a day's going to come. You're going to stand right by the guy who actually had 10 talents, and he invested 10 talents, and he received back an interest. Something came from what he did for God, as a gift for God. And you're going to stand right next to him, and you would have invested, you know, 100, if you're doing numbers, of your talents, but kept 900 for yourself to be able to feed into your own flesh and things that you want. And you're going to think, because you did 100, that God's going to see you greater than the guy who did 10. But you don't understand. That's all he had was 5. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All he had was 10. He maxed out. He did 100%. God's into percentages, not amounts. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to realize this. He's going to say, listen, you know, you wicked and lazy. I'm just quoting Jesus here. Listen, I'm not quoting doctrine. I mean, I'm about, you know, men's doctrines. I'm talking about the word of God. Jesus says, then the master will come back and he'll look at you and he'll say, you wicked and lazy servant. Mm-hmm. Take what you do have and give it to the one who doesn't have. And so you got to take all that 1,000 mm-hmm. and give it to that one who had 10. But the one who had the 5 and invested it and got 10 back and he had 10, you know, the Lord looks at him and says, the master looks at him and says, well done. Mm-hmm. And that blows somebody else away. He says, listen, I have mansions that I live in, cars that are my, and I spent them all on me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, my house is bigger. Aren't I more valuable? Mm-hmm. Mm. Ask Lazarus, right?
That's right.
And so understand that, you know, what are you doing with what God's given you? What are you doing with what God has given you? And we're talking to you to encourage you that first begin to get a vision that, hey, you can do something for God. You know, the same Jesus that's in the next believer is in you. The same Bible that this man preaches out of, if it is the Holy Bible, is the same Bible that you can preach out of and teach out of. You just need to get related with the people who believe that. Mm-hmm. You know, you need somebody who believes God, and it's not right. having to go, you want ones that signs are following them, that they're not following signs. It's like, mm-hmm. why do I need to be with you if you're following signs? I need to find somewhere where the signs follow them, right? Right? I mean, it's, you know, these signs follow those who believe.
Right.
And Jesus works with us confirming those signs, and it's just pretty cool. There's all over the world, there's people who love God and who are following God like that. You know, I think about, you know, Steve and I were talking last night, I believe it was, in Pittsburgh, you know, and God's just really blessing him there. He got just really blessed. And he was bringing this out, how the Lord just laid this on his heart, and he was sharing it with me, and it just really bears witness, and it's so timely. Because when you start to do something for God, you've got to be real careful that all of a sudden you're saying you're doing it for God, but you can find out how you're reacting to what's happening if you really are doing it for yourself. You know, and I think about it, you know, and Paul was writing to the church of Corinthians, and he was talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There was division happening with believers, because they begin to measure success. They begin to define it, you know. They begin to say, you know, look what I'm doing, or look what he's doing. And because he looks like he's doing more, therefore he's more valuable. And this one looks like he's not doing. And all of a sudden there's this big, you know, value based off of what was going on. And so this is how Paul responds to it. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 9. He says, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ." This is what he's about to talk about then, is a very worldly view, and it's like a babe in Christ. It's just it's a immature argument. He says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. I mean, think about it. Some people say, well, yeah, I've been a believer for 5 years, and it's like, but you still have the nipple in your mouth.
That's right.
You got to move up. You got to move up. And the way that meat is, when you begin to do what God says and you practice the word of God in your life, you practice and you become, you know, Hebrews 6 talks about that. And he says, you're still worldly. Since there is jealousy and quarreling amongst you, are you not worldly? And the thing about it is, if you have an insecure man who feels less than because he has less money in his wallet, he has a smaller house, he has fewer people that he's ministering to, or his family's not as big as someone else's family, understand this, that's a pride thing. Mm-hmm. And when he does get the thing that he thinks he needs, that same pride will be there, and now he'll think of himself more valuable than he is.
That's right. Mm.
If you have somebody that feels insecure, saying they see somebody else that's singing, you know, and they're worshiping God, and they're with their voice, and somebody says, oh, you know, I want that. I want to be able to do that. Well, you have to understand, some people want it because they want the glory and they want to be value. They see value in that for themselves. Mm-hmm. And some people just begin to worship God where they're at, like David did in the wilderness. It's a big difference. You know, a lot of people, it's huge. And so pride and worldliness and infancy in Christ, is there's an argument going on. He says, are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, another one says, I follow Apollos, are they not mere men? You know, and some mere men don't understand they're mere men. Cool. And you talk to them, it's like, oh my goodness, we were talking to somebody who doesn't understand they're a mere man.
Right.
We got to be real careful, because we could really hurt their pride right now. Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
That fruit. Anyway, so and then Paul goes in and says, what after all is Apollos? Because they're like, some people are going, I was in such and such. I go to this gathering over here, and this is my pastor there. And they're talking like, what? You know, and he says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? He's talking about himself. Only servants. That's who we all are. Through whom one came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each of us a task. We are not what we do. That's called hoodoo. And you've probably heard that again and again on VFN Radio, and you will continually hear it because we have to get, God wants some hear doers, people to hear and do, but we're not who do all of a sudden because we are doing this, all of a sudden we're greater than somebody. That's who we are. And he said, you know, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And that's so important. But God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he that waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So who makes things grow?
God.
Right. Now, if you get into making things grow, that's called manipulation. And it's not God's kingdom that's being built. That's your kingdom that's being built. That's how you can build monstrosities with a whole bunch of people who don't even know God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard people say, you know, there have been somebody in my place that didn't know, you know, they were with us 6 months. They didn't even know we were the church.
Right.
And it's like, you openly said that.
And they didn't know God.
And didn't know God. It's like, you think you'd get it close. Since anyway, so the man who plants, he goes on to say, and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are all God's fellow workers. We are all God's fellow workers. You are God's field and God's building. So we're just all in this thing together. Once you become a believer, you are a son and daughter of God. You are in the family of God. And there's mothers and fathers in the Lord and all that, but we're all family. We're just family. And nobody's any greater than the other person. And the seed, you have to understand that the seed is the word of God. When you understand, when you hear about the parable of the sower, Jesus makes it plain in Luke 8:11. He says, listen, that the meaning of this parable is the seed is the word of God. It's the word of God. And the field, he says, we are the field. It's the hearts of men. That's the soil that it gets planted in. And since God's word is the seed, he tells us in Isaiah 55:10-11, that as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so it is with my word that goes out from my mouth, the mouth, and it will return, and it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. It's going to accomplish what it set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
So God is the one. It's God's seed. It's not our seed. It's God's truth. It's the gospel. The good news is Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And if he be lifted up and we tell people about him being lifted up, then he draws men under. It's him. But we plant that seed. We tell people about it. It's his seed. It's not our seed. And we plant it, and another man comes and prays and believes God, and it gets watered, and in that, but God, and that seed's going to accomplish what it's set out to do. You can't say you know what's going to happen. I mean, you can't say it's God's going to cause that thing to grow, but it's no matter what, it's going to bring every man to accountability before the throne of God and say, what decision did you make with the seed that was laid upon your heart, the word of God, when you heard the word of God? And it's going to accomplish what? That every man had a chance. Every man had a chance. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all. In other words, seed will hit every soil out there, every man's heart, and the end will come.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I am pastor of a home church, and we have not filled out the paperwork to get a federal ID tax number. The question is, can the people who donate to our church deduct that from their taxes?
Churches are automatically tax exempt under the Internal Revenue Code, Section 508. I'm not sure whether you need an ID number or not, but I wouldn't be too concerned about getting an ID number if, in fact, it's required. But what is important for you to know is that you're automatically tax exempt as a church. If it's a legitimate church activity and a legitimate church structure, you have services, you have worship, you have baptisms, you have communion, these kind of things that make it a legitimate church organization, you're automatically tax exempt. That means the donations made by your contributors, members of the congregation, are automatically tax deductible.
If you have a legal question or concern, visit us on our website at aclj.org.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there? Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well. Man, it's just technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I mean, that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store for Android phones. So they can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives, for example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right,
you know, and the perspective of things going on. And that you can do that, you can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV. Whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Lord Jesus, asleep on
the so division bed. Happens in the church because men assume that one man was actually seeing things grow around him or her, that they were more valuable. And they begin to measure themselves by saying, well, I have fewer and they have more. And they start measuring things off the abundance of things, and God doesn't do that. When the reality is, the success in God is when you sow the seed, when you go out and begin to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. You begin to love on them, you begin to pray for them, and you plant the seed. You can't make it grow. You can hope for it to grow, you can pray for it to grow, but you cannot make it grow. It's only God that causes it to grow. And when it does grow, it grows maybe in your ministry, in your workplace, wherever it is, but that's God causing it to grow. You're not any greater because all of a sudden that person responded to the gospel. God's greater.
That's right.
You're just a fellow worker, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, clock in like me, man. We're going to all go to heaven together.
Come on.
You know, if Jesus says the kingdom of God is like this and heaven's like this, is that it doesn't matter when you come in and when you start working in the field, you're going to get paid the very same thing. Because we're all the same. And so you think about it. To understand the parable of the sower, then, it helps you understand what the argument was going on and how to begin to define things, how things happen, and what is the key then to growth. Well, he says it, Matthew 13, verse 1 through 9, the parable of the sower. Jesus says, it reads, "The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and they ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell amongst thorns and grew up and was choked out by the plants were choked out by these thorns. Still other seed fell on good soil." Say that. Say good soil.
Good soil.
Fell on good soil where it produced. It grew. It produced a crop of 160 and 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, Jesus said, let him hear. And then he began to say in verse 18, he says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower really means." And this is important because we all need to be in the harvest fields. All this jealousy and this contention and this pride and the self-exaltation and measuring and all that stuff, it's got to stop. Knock that. We got to knock it off. We're all workers in the same field. We're all going to get the same reward. We're all going to get, it's not about that. We've already won.
That's right.
We've already won. We need to tell others about Jesus. It's time. In 2013, I believe, is going to be the year of a great harvest. But he says, let me tell you what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears this message, right, the word going out, somebody's mouth, when they hear this message about the kingdom of God and do not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, the word that was sown in their heart. He says, this is the seed that was along the path. So what happened? Well, you were obedient. You went out and you told somebody about Jesus, maybe at a gas station or a coffee shop, and they're excited about it. They didn't really understand it. By the time they got in their car and drove off, Satan comes and steals that away from them because they didn't understand it. Are you less valuable or more valuable? Because that has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself. This is a God thing. This is God. You know, you are not the master. God's the master. And this is going to empower you to be a worker.
That's right.
You know, we are believing that men and women of God are going to rise up and begin to tell people the good news and give them a chance and begin to send the seed out. Then he goes in verse 20, says, "And the one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places, the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy." What did he do? He received it with joy. I mean, he's pumped. Woo! I mean, he's like happy and everything. He says, "But since it has no root, he lasts only a short time." Let me tell you something. That's Jesus saying that. What happened is that he received it, he believed it, and then he lost it.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jesus. Get over it. He said it. He's right. Let every man be a liar and God be the truth.
That's right.
What happened? He wasn't discipled. He didn't get any roots.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but since he had no roots, he lasted only a short time. When trouble and persecution came because of the word, he quickly fell away. Listen, to be able to fight lies, you got to know the truth. And if only 19% of the church is in the Word of God, you know, you can't say, "Well, I just, you know, that, you know, if you are set up with the truth of God and you have an ability to train people in the Word of God, disciple them, I mean, you're set up. You know, it's up to them what they're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not any less valuable or more valuable. You should be brokenhearted if somebody gets choked up because they refuse to be discipled.
Yeah.
They just looked at the cares of life and defined themselves by that instead of listening to what God said about them. And he said that the one who received the seed that fell amongst the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choked it and making it unfruitful. I mean, that's America right now. We're being choked out by money. It's just money, money, money. So everybody's thinking about the money cliff. That's what fiscal means, the money cliff.
Right.
Mm. We're going over the money cliff. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Going over the money. That's what fiscal means, by the way. We're going over the money cliff.
Wow.
And the church is being choked out by it. I mean, we're paying $1.3 million per baptized believer. Come on, yeah. My goodness. So anyway, we're just trying to get this figured out here. So, but the one, Jesus said, who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He hears it. He understands it. He produces a crop that yields 130 and 60 fold. So you see, this is it. This is it. You're just supposed to tell people about Jesus. Quit not telling them because you're predicting how they're going to respond, and you're defining yourself by whether they say yes or no to God to say, listen, it has nothing to do with you. You just tell them about God. Stop not telling them. Don't let the enemy stop your mouth from moving. Break the lockjaw. My goodness, church. Mm-hmm. You know, we should be telling every day people about the word of God, but the lies of the enemies locked your mind and locked your feet and locked you down, the deceitfulness of riches and all these things choking it out and saying, you need to get out there and quit defining success by anything other than you're a fellow worker. You're a fellow worker, and understand that the condition of that soil, the condition of that man's heart will determine whether God's going to cause it to grow or not. That man's got to believe first. He's got to believe first. And not only does he have to believe, but he's got to get roots down and fruit up. Because you can believe in hard times and hot times come. Mm-hmm. And yes, that was a genuine encounter with God. But yes, they're back in the world again. They've left God.
Yeah. You can't judge your ministry efforts by the harvest you reap, but only by the seeds you've sown. You know, the harvest belongs to the Lord. So it's like you can't, the harvest has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with what God's going to do.
But the harvest means you can't make it grow. You just can't make it grow. I mean, you want, and when what happens is when people start measuring that way, start doing things to create numbers, you know.
Appearance of growth.
It's an appearance of growth.
Right.
But it's, you know, it can be poor, naked, blind, and dead. Mm. And that's how you can be in a place for 6 months and not know it's the church, because very well, a lot of it might not be.
Exactly.
And so understanding that you know, we got to, this is how the army is going to be launched. Realize that we're all called in the army of God. Yeah, you know, we're all called to go out and to love people. And so the seed is you telling people the word of God. It comes out of our mouths and it's going to accomplish. It may not accomplish, be like Joseph. You know, they may carry our bones out. We might not see the harvest, but you know what? In eternity, I'm going to see all this seed and everybody I told about God. They're going to be brought to the throne room of God. And some will say, he'll say, enter in. Well done, that good and faithful servant. And you'll be able to meet that person because what you shared in their heart, they believed and they received and it was part of it. But the other people that God will remind them of the encounter that you have with them at the gas station that said, listen, you know, that Pat came to you and he told you about me and he told you about the way to me and you turned away. You said no to it. You said no to me. But it will accomplish, that's what it set out to do. People say, well, you know, it's just automatically going to be a great harvest. Well, there's going to be a harvest period. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's going to be harvested, you know, good and bad. And we're all going to be brought like sheep and goats before God. And every one of us would have heard the gospel. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to answer. We would have had the seed thrown our way and landed on our heart. What did we do with it? Did we believe? Was it good? Did we have a good heart? We say, yes, we want that. And we receive it. And when you get past this, you realize, you know what? That I need to start telling people about Jesus. I need to start telling people about Jesus. You know, and at first, if you're having a struggle with it, tell them about VFN Radio. We'll help you. We'll partner with you. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And telling them about your own personal testimony and realize that if they can believe and receive it, but not getting the roots, in other words, don't get discipled, then you need to have a strategy. There needs to be a strategy because remember the good soul is the one that not only received, believed, understood, but produced. Mm-hmm. So you need to have a strategy for a productive life. And we're going to make this all available for you on the VFN Torch. It's called Strategy for a Productive Life. Understanding this. We have a teaching on it. We have a simple little piece of paper that you fill this out, it'll show you how to have a strategy to be fruitful in your life. Not just to say, hey, I said a prayer somewhere, but you look more like the devil than the devil does, and how you're living your life, that you're supposed to be different and look different and realize if Jesus said this person believed but quickly fell away, I mean, read the word of God. Just read it. Forget what people are telling. Just read what God says. Mm-hmm. And it convicts you to realize, hey, it's not as flippant as people say. I've got to make a commitment to God. I got to give him my life. Mm-hmm. It's not some sort of supernatural sentence that I got to say or some paragraph that I say to God. And so we're going to have available for you on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and you're going to be able to have the teaching there. You're going to be able to have, of course, what I'm talking to you about now. And you're even going to have a simple form that you can fill out online and print it off. It's called Strategy for a Productive Life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, if you're out there and you're listening and, you know, you find that life is empty and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. You know, you're working a good job. You went to school. You're married. You have a family. You have children. And you know what? Things still don't seem to quite satisfy. And it still seems like, you know, there's a big hole in your heart. I want to encourage you. There is hope today. You know, there is a hope through relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can meet him at Meet My Father. You know, the world is hungry. And I can tell you, I was in the same place. I can relate. You know, I went to school. I did all the right things that you're supposed to do. But yet, deep down in my heart, I still had such a huge hole and no amount of everything the world had to offer me. And I did it all. It was never satisfying. And still, at the end of the day, I still was missing my relationship with God. You know, if that's you, let me tell you, you can meet him. You can go to meetmyfather.org and you can meet my father and you can begin this journey of understanding and knowing him personally. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Oh my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to vfntv.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you.
There
it's
you
yours.
Go.
Have yes. it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
A song, high above the trees.
No.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Chris. Yeah. Sorry, I had to make some adjustments.
I like the intro, the hello is just so profound, you know. It's me again, Ethel.
Well, last time.
oh, it was the hello and then the oh. I'm messing with you. Go ahead.
The last time I was talking about how so you gonna do it? Do it to me today? All these finger pointing signs, numbers.
What?
Yeah. Well, Chris, talk about it now.
Oh. Right? Oh no, that's right.
I'll shut down.
Does mic went out? Does mic go out? I think his mic went out. Okay.
No, really. You know, I talked about how, you know, how faithful God is, you know, despite our circumstances and everything that goes on in front of us. That God is faithful. You know, He is there. God is with us, and I was reading again in Psalms, and David is writing. He says in Psalms 5, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice in the morning. I lay my requests before you." And wait in expectation.
Wow.
You know, and
good.
You know, are we crying out? You know, this is what jumped out at me. Is just like, I know so many times in my walk, you know, I go back and I look. There's been many times that, you know, I didn't cry out or I didn't ask. I didn't go before God with my request. Cool. You know, I just started looking, you know, to myself. You know, instead of looking to God, but He is so faithful. He continues to be mm-hmm. faithful, and He's there, and He's waiting for us just to cry out to Him. It's just in the morning I cry out, you know, every day. And then when you cry out, you wait in expectation that He's going to answer.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes. Right.
That's faith, isn't it?
It's like, yes.
I didn't cry out just to cry out.
Right.
I cried out because God heard me, and He's going to answer.
Right. And then he goes on to say,
and he does say, you know, broken and contrite heart, he does not turn away from. So it's right. Crying out, that comes out of a broken heart, doesn't it?
Mm. Right. Yeah, definitely. Wow. Definitely. And he goes on to say, but by your great mercy, I will come into your house in reverence. Will I bow down toward your holy temple? You know, but it's by, you know, God is so merciful that he gives us the ability to be able to come into his house, you know, to seek him and to bring those requests before him. He's given, you know, he's opened that door for us to be able to come in. And then it led me to in Luke chapter 18 of where Jesus talks about the parable of the persistent widow who came before the unrighteous judge. And because of her persistence, you know, he granted her request. Mm-hmm. Further on towards the end of that story of that parable, he says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah. It was just like, do we have faith enough to cry out and to ask him? And waiting for expectation that mm-hmm. he's going to move on our behalf, you know, and that
turn to God, not to everything else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he is the answer. Say, dear God, if you don't move, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
Right.
Then wait expectantly.
Right.
And reverently, you know, we're in the new covenant. We are the house of God. So no matter where we are, we can be humble and be reverent towards God, knowing not that you are the temple of God. Mm-hmm. And then understanding with expectancy that he is, you know, going, if we persist and don't say, well, you know, I cried out once, nothing happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. That's so good. Just keep asking and asking and ask until you receive. Believe that you're going to receive it and profess it.
Right.
You know, profess it. That's a good word.
Very good.
That's a very, very good word. Well, and, you know, right now we got to turn to God and not Google.
Right. Exactly.
We got to turn to God and not ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't need to turn to our jobs and we don't need to turn to those type of things, but we need to be able to turn to God in everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and it's important, you know, learning to cry out towards God. I had a lot of things going on at the same time, trying to get things together here. But that's so meaningful. Because no matter where you are, if you are a believer, God is with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his spirit dwells inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the glory of God is released. It's really not brought down. It's brought out from you.
Mm-hmm.
And to release the glory is for you to begin to have your faith stirred, where all of a sudden Christ in you begins to just manifest around you in people's lives. That's why you have a group of believers together and you begin to worship and give testimonies and share God's word, and the faith is just built up, and it's not like God really comes down. It's God comes out from amongst you, and all of a sudden now he's ruling, you know, in your midst, but it's God being released from you. That's why we're like God containers. And he says, I want you to go to where I send you, and I want you to preach the kingdom of God is near. And the reason why it's near, it's not because of a building is near them. It's because the kingdom of God is within you. And because the kingdom of God is within you and you are close to that person geographically, now the kingdom of God is near them.
All right.
You know? Yeah. And that's what's so exciting about, you know, what Chris is sharing here, that, you know, then we can cry out to God at that very moment and people can turn to the Lord. And at that moment, they can receive Christ. At that moment, Christ in you could be Christ in them as well, because they could invite Jesus. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're thinking, I'm hearing this right now. I didn't realize. I thought it was a building up the street. I thought it was a cathedral. I thought it was this. I didn't realize that God wants to live inside of me.
Yeah.
You know, He wants to take over my life and forgive me and redeem me and bring me to the life that he had planned for me from when he knit me together in my mother's womb. I didn't realize that. Well, if that's you, listen, cry out to him where you are right now. Cry out and expect him to answer, because if you do, he says, those that call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. And understanding that, and you can find out more about how to meet the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, at meetmyfather.org. But understand this, at this very moment, crying out in expectancy, Lord, save me, deliver me, set me free, bring me out of this situation. God, fix my marriage. Lord, help my children. God, touch my finances. God, change the church in America. Change this nation, God. I mean, God hears those things. You know, we don't know mm-hmm. when he's going to respond, but understand he hears those prayers and he'll answer.
Yeah. It's like, you know, was in my Bible time, I was reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 about Hezekiah. Chris, it's amazing how it just kind of all goes together. But the word says that after all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. And sometimes, you know, we think an attack or something going bad is because, you know, maybe something's wrong with us. Maybe you're coming under attack because maybe you're doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying?
Probably. Think about it. If you're a spy for the bad guys, they're not going to mess with you.
Yeah. Mm.
Unless you turn good.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So you're doing the right stuff, and all of a sudden things are coming against you. And so here the king of Assyria is trying to wage attack on Hezekiah. And Hezekiah's like, he starts consulting his officials. He starts moving into wisdom. Maybe he was listening to the wisdom moment, just joking, but he was, you know, applying to some wisdom in his life and getting his officials and cutting off water supplies and doing all these things. But then the king of Assyria, as he's getting closer, he starts to send messages to Hezekiah, and he sends messages to the people, you know, that he's ruling. And it's all this just negative, just attack, and where's your God, and is God going to be able to deliver you? And we've conquered all these other lands and all these other gods, and is your mm-hmm. God really going to be able to stand there for you and protect you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Word of God says in verse 10 that basically, you know, Hezekiah started encouraging his people. And this is so important because, you know, when you're facing something, no matter what it is, you got to have a vision to come on out. You got to know what God's word is saying. You got to see your way out of this. And in verse 7, rather, he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there's a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Listen, if you're trying to fight this battle all alone, if you're trying to do this within your own strength, mm-hmm. you know, strength against strength, the enemy will beat you every time, mm-hmm. flesh to flesh.
Right.
But if God is on your side, and he is, if you're a believer, you've made him the Lord of your life, the Lord's going to fight this battle for you. Mm-hmm. And then talking about crying out, exactly what you just said, Chris, mm-hmm. Hezekiah begins to cry out to God. He begins to cry out to the Lord and watch the Lord intervene on his behalf. And in verse 20 says, King Hezekiah, the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, cried out in prayer to heaven about this. And the Lord sent an angel who annihilated all the fighting men and the leaders and the officers in the camp of the Assyrian king. So he withdrew to his own land, disgraced. And even when he went into the temple of his God, little G God, some of his sons cut him down with the sword. And it's like, look, all we need to do is cry out to God. All we need to do is seek the Lord mm-hmm. in our situation, not respond with the arm of the flesh, not to listen to the voice of the enemy. And it's so important because Hezekiah, right from the very beginning, started to cast vision. He started to speak over his people. If you're called to lead a group of people, if you're a leader in your own family, if you're a parent, it's so important that you share the word of the Lord with your family, that you would share the encouragement. Because if you're not speaking to your family, if you're not leading, believe you me, the enemy is. And oftentimes the enemy can't beat us. Why was the king of Assyria trying to attack them with their mind? You know what I'm saying? Like with accusation. Because maybe he couldn't beat them with the arm of the flesh. Even though he had a vast army, he was trying to get in their head. He was trying to put these lies in there.
That's where a lot of people get confused, that when you look at David's life, you know, David fought so many physical wars. He used his body so much, his mind so much, his skills so much that God defined him as, you're too bloody to be able to build my temple and let your son build it.
Mm.
But he was a man after God's own heart. It was wars that he had for him.
Right.
But yet, every single victory he ever had in battle, he understood God gave him the victory. And he would seek the Lord. He would abide with God and seek the Lord before he would actually go to that battle. And God would say that, I want you to fight this one and I'll give you victory. Well, a lot of times where we have difficulty in turning to ourselves and turning to God, because we're physically involved at the job, at the workplace, that we're getting involved in things, sometimes on our carnal nature, we have the tendency to take credit for it. You know, and God has a way of reminding us, like he did Nebuchadnezzar, that it's actually him. Yeah, and just because we're involved in it, listen, he's given us the air to breathe. He's holding our cell together, our bodies together. This universe is just, it's amazing. We're going to talk about some things probably tomorrow about going deep. It'll scare you when you realize how in control God is, because things can happen so easily, and it'll cause you to humble yourself and want to be able to serve the Lord. But understand, you cry out to God and you pray, but faith without works is dead. So you're going to do what God says, but you're not, even though you're doing something and you're going back to your job again, don't trust the work of your hands. Trust the Lord who blesses the work of your hands. Don't trust your home to keep you safe in a storm. Trust God who can stop the storm and prevent the storm from affecting your home. Don't trust the money in your bank account or your wallet. Trust the Lord who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I mean, think about it. I mean, and so getting involved in the process, you don't want to pray and then you're seeing yourself start to do something and you're thinking, well, I thought God was going to answer, but thank God I took over. And, you know, and I went out and got this job and I sold myself and I did this and I did that. And it's like, you can take credit for it. And it's just, it's all God. The fact, the question is,
all God,
are we going to acknowledge him? He says, this is what he says in Acts chapter 17. He says, you know, that I did all of this, including the very time, seasons, and your address. I put you there just to see if you would reach out for me, though I'm not far from you. That's the whole thing. Will we acknowledge him? Will we acknowledge the Lord? We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Yeah, do you want to believe this?
Yeah,
his beautiful, beautiful daughter, Jordan Sky, was visiting. And, it took a long time. You know, Pat, I mean, everything that Pat over the years had told me, he was made in front of me about. Everything.
Well, I don't make fun,
makes fun of you.
Dude, you just, I mean, we don't have the airtime for that. We don't have the airtime for it, you know what I'm saying?
Come on now.
Come on, that means you really did. Let's move on. So I said, I said, Jordan, would you like some chocolate? I like dark chocolate. I like that chocolate. It's like almost dirt.
Black.
Like 92% dirt. No, I like 72, something like that. I don't know something. I mean, if you get too high, it is like dirt. But anyway, so I had this dark chocolate. I mean, it's a candy bar, dude. It's a candy bar. You know what I'm saying? And I break off a piece of this candy bar, and I give it to Jordan, and she puts it in her mouth. And the first thing she says, dude, she says, this tastes like coffee.
That's my girl.
I'm thinking, where did that come from? How could you think that chocolate tastes like coffee?
It does.
Until I realized that I saw a big foo-foo truck backing up to Pat's house with chocolate creamery going into his back house, you know, loading it into his refrigerator.
I do not use foo-foo anymore.
He has a dropper.
I use powder foo-foo.
Yeah. It's like he's got like a dropper, like a syringe of coffee, like one cc of coffee and 4 gallons of chocolate.
He has an IV of it.
It's like totally amazing. Just chocolate alone will wire you. Just eat the chocolate. Forget about the coffee, man. It'll wire you.
I guess. By the way, speaking of Jordan, you know it's her birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Jordan.
Enjoy the coffee.
Yeah. Hark the herald angels sing,
glory to You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster. The headboard prince of peace.
Well, it has been a good and long week.
Yes, it
is. It's amazing when you pack so much and you're doing so much, you look back and say, did I just do that in a day, in 2 days?
I know, right?
But you look back and one of the rewards of having a fruitful life is that you look back and say, wow, there was something that was accomplished, something that was done. And if you're doing something for the Lord, you look back and say, wow, man, this is going to serve an eternity. This has not only benefits for right now, but man, you're going to see this in the life to come.
That's right. Nothing you do for the Lord is in vain.
No thing.
Not a thing.
No matter what the devil tells you,
exactly.
No matter what people line up to tell you, nothing is ever done in vain. And that's why you can get up every morning and you set out your course and your plan. And you can say, hey, listen, you know, with me and God, I can do this today. Lord, help me. Give me grace.
Yes.
Give me grace. But I can make it through. And that's when you really start to begin to live, is when you start living outside of, you know, yourself and your plans and your ideas. But when you really start living, you know, for God and you start doing the things for the Lord and you begin to say, you know what, I'm going to serve others and I'm going to get involved. I'm going to get involved in investing my life for the kingdom and for the King. And I don't know of anything more rewarding than that.
That's all right.
Because at the end of the day, we want to hear those words.
Well done, good and faithful servant.
Come on now. Those are the words. That's the words that every believer should be living for.
That's all right.
Well done. But in order to hear well done, it means you got to
do something.
Do.
Get off the couch.
You got to do. You got to get in the game. You got to get in the game, and you got to be willing.
Put down the remote.
Come on. Put down the remote. Step back from the, you know, whatever gadget and say, you know what? I'm not going to voyeuristically look at a reality Christian TV program, right? But I'm going to be a Christian in reality. I'm going to be Christ-like.
That's good.
I'm going to do the works of Jesus. I'm going to talk to somebody about the Lord. I'm going to tell them about his glory and about his majesty and about his goodness. And I'm going to tell them what he did for me. I mean, listen, you can tell people a lot of stuff of, you know, about what he did for other people. But I'm telling you something. If Jesus Christ saved your life, if he touched you, I don't know. That's one of the greatest miracles that could ever happen to you personally. It is the greatest miracle.
That's right.
You know, and if you knew my life, it is the greatest miracle for me. It is the greatest miracle.
Oh, we know.
Hey. No shame in my game. I am grateful for the King and what he's done for me. And that's why I can't wait just to share him with as many people as I can. And I often say that, listen, you know, you never see a U-Haul behind Hertz. I mean, you never see a,
Hertz. No, you won't see that either.
You won't see that either. But you don't see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You know, at the funeral, you know, the procession, you don't see that. You don't see it because you can't take this stuff with you. But what you can take with you are other people.
That's right.
You can take souls, souls. And I think that one of the greatest feelings, Pat Crystal, one of the greatest feelings that I think that you could ever experience when you go to heaven. I mean, of course, you're going to see the Lord. I mean, like the song says, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
You know, am I going to lay down? Am I going to pass out? Am I going to cry? I don't know. Probably all of them at the same time for a long time, you know?
For eternity.
Well, but once all of that settles, if it ever does, the allness of being with God in heaven, you get to start looking around and you start to seeing, I know that person. I know that person. Hey, I know that. Oh, you made it. Okay.
You made it.
The Lord is merciful. And you start looking around and you're saying, wow, okay, that's familiar faces. But then you see this other room. And you see these other groups of people. I mean, just imagine with me. Just, you know, go with me. We're on a journey. Go with me. But you go into another room, and Jesus says, I got a surprise for you. No, Jesus said, I got a surprise for you. Come here. And he says, go ahead and open that door. And you open that door, and then you see a flood of people. But all these people have one thing in common. These are all the people that made it to heaven, that gave their lives to Jesus because of something that you did while you were on earth. You shared the gospel with them. You served in the ministry. Because everything is all interconnected. But you shared Jesus with them, and they're all sitting there.
That's right.
They're all sitting there. I mean, my goodness, listen, the goal is heaven, full, hell, empty.
Yeah.
But you talk about joy. You talk about, a feeling of awe and awesomeness when you're looking around. You say, that person and that person. And you remember when you took the time that day out of that busy schedule, or that I'm sure it seemed so significant what was happening that day, and it probably was in the little scheme, you know, of life, the little plan of life, but you took the time to say something to the cashier. You saw she was having a hard time, and folks behind her were just complaining, and you just see just doom and gloom over her, and you just start talking to her about the Lord, and you just related to her and told her about a time when you had that situation and you worked and how you just cried out to God and she responded. Or maybe there was another situation where at the workplace you worked with someone and it's a coworker that was again going through a rough time or having trials and tribulations, as many people do.
Yeah.
And you took the time to say hello. You took the time to share the Lord with them. Yeah, I mean, everyone's busy at work. They're doing their thing. But you said, you know, today, I want to be a witness for God. I want to share who the Lord is. And you've purposely prayed and you took time out of your schedule at the workplace and you shared it. And now that person's sitting in heaven. Listen, don't waste another moment. Don't waste another time, you know, where you passed it by. Get in the game of life. Don't watch reality TV. Live the reality.
Wow.
And if you're a believer, my goodness, tell somebody about the Lord. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Don't forget, you can carry us with you everywhere you go with our app. You can go to VFNTV.com and download our app. We have it for all the different devices that are out there. And you want to be encouraged, you know, turn on, you want to change your workplace. You want to change the atmosphere of your home. Turn on VFN Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just let it go. Just let it go and just begin to watch things change with your children, watch things change in your life and with your marriage and your business and your workplace. And I'm telling you that the truth sets you free.
That's
and
right.
It sets your business free. And it's just a conversation